place to go. Have no place to go, darling.
Good week for you, bad week for turkeys. Look at it, it's Monday. Ah, fantastic. If you're not working, I don't know why you're not up listening. Gonna need a note from your mom. We'll be here till, I got a wacky couple of weeks. I'm going to be here today, Wednesday, not tomorrow.
Why
and then
not?
Next week, what? I'll be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Well, that's wackadoodle.
I have a thing tomorrow.
Oh, a thing.
I got a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then next week, I got a thing Thursday and Friday.
Mm. Going to Costco?
No, but it does start with a C. And it rhymes with colonoscopy.
Oh.
Aren't you glad you asked?
So sorry. Yeah. I was hoping you were going to say like Cabo or Cancun. Or,
yeah. Well, it's like that. Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't require prep time.
Cabo does.
Well, that's true. As long as you don't have any beans.
Everybody have a nice weekend?
Yeah. I had a long weekend because I was off Friday.
Yeah, I know.
So it was very nice.
Wackadoodle.
Yeah.
I saw the Mr. Rogers movie. I highly recommend it.
Was it good?
Yeah, it's really good.
So excited to see that.
Yeah, I think
did you cry?
A couple times.
Oh, yeah. How many times?
I think two, maybe three.
Did you change your shoes when you came back into the house?
I do. There's a rule when you go into the theater to watch it. Everyone has to.
Oh, really? And wear
cardigans
a cardigan.
For everyone.
Wear a cardigan?
Yeah. Zippered cardigan. Not just a cardigan, a zippered cardigan.
Now for some more news. Ready?
Welcome to the Top 6 at 6.
What?
On the Steve Cochran Show.
That is great radio.
This is your first look at what people, animals, and assorted fruits and vegetables will be talking about today.
Well, let's just get this out of the way. Bears beat the Giants 19-14. In a game. Yeah, like...
It was ugly.
Yeah, like Deliverance ugly. Like, stuck by a river, and here's the banjo music ugly.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the exact score I predicted.
Was it?
Yes.
I'm sure you're right. 19-14, the final. The Giants are terrible. And hey, let me ask you a question there, Andy Mazur. And Andy Mazur's in for David. Carmen will be in tomorrow on Wednesday. And by the way, just so everybody's clear, and it still works here.
He does.
It's been a weird couple of weeks, so I think it's important to say. The Giants, why wouldn't they put Phil Sims in at some point?
You know, I think that might be...
And I don't mean Eli Manning.
I know
Sims.
Who you mean, because I think that would please a lot of CBS viewers as well, if he would come back and play.
No, why didn't they play Eli Manning? Why not put Eli Manning in? Because his kid's obviously struggling.
Yeah, you got to let the kid go through his struggles, though. That's how you learn.
Eight in a row?
Yeah. That's how you got to take... Troy Aikman, his first year, they were 1-15.
This is his third year. Second year?
No, we're talking about the Giants kid.
Yeah,
oh,
Daniel Jones.
We're talking about
he's a friend.
Yeah.
He's
Mitch.
A rookie, isn't he?
Rookie from Duke, yes. Yeah. First round draft choice.
Yeah, he was bleeding, too. I felt
he
bad.
Was bleeding on the hand.
Yes.
Well, as badly as he played, he should have bled. the Bears win, puts him at 5-6, and technically still in a playoff.
Yeah, match. Heartbeat.
Technically.
Barely.
They can do it.
Got Detroit on Thursday. That would really cap it off. A miserable loss to Detroit on Thanksgiving Day.
And a double dose of Hampo being cause.
I don't know. Do we have Super Joe? I didn't hear a minute of Hampo being cause yesterday. I assume they weren't happy. Did you catch any of that?
Yeah, I didn't hear it either.
I heard a little bit.
They weren't happy, right?
No, they were not happy.
Yeah, okay. Screaming as usual. Yes. Okay. Not happy. And they left their food on the table again.
Yeah, what is that out there?
It looks like some
spaghetti?
Pasta. I threw the salad
chicken.
Away.
Yeah. But some pasta with some chicken thrown in it or something?
It was one piece of fried chicken on top of dried up spaghetti.
I have no doubt it was great when it was hot and fresh. Now it looks like an accident.
If it would have made it to the fridge, I would have been all over it this morning.
I would have slapped it out of your hand like the Secret Service.
Those boys don't clean up after themselves.
No, that's true.
I think they think they're leaving it behind so other people can enjoy
it. No, I think they're leaving it behind because they're lazy.
They don't want to clean it up.
Next. Macy's alerted customers that the personal payment information may have been hacked. During a one-week period in October, Macy's said a reported incident that was turned over to the federal law enforcement officials involved found a suspicious third party who added unauthorized computer code on the retailer's website on October the 7th. In a letter sent to affected customers dated November 14th, anybody gotten a letter? I didn't get the letter.
I didn't get it either.
I don't think I spent any money at Macy's in the last couple of months, either. if you don't, you know, even if you don't spend any money, it'd be nice to get a letter from Macy's.
Yeah, it would be nice.
I have their credit card. You think I'd get one?
Macy's said hackers potentially had access to customers' names, addresses, phone numbers, and payment card information, according to the letter. Macy's removed the code from their computers on October 15th. So again, just so you know, 1 week period in October. It doesn't give me information here, but I believe it's the first week of October. You could call Macy's and ask for the hack department if you need further information. Next, you know that ugly Cybertruck that Tesla rolled out last week? That thing that looked like a triangle on wheels?
It was awful looking.
200,000 pre-orders for that thing. So, and by the way, with the breakable window.
Kidding. No.
Yep. Pre-order 146,000 times within the first 48 hours. 200,000 pre-orders at all reported so far. The CEO, Elon Musk, tweeted all that yesterday. In order to pre-order the Cybertruck, customers had to drop a $100 refundable deposit. I don't know that I would have paid $100 for the truck.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it looks like a geometry project rolling down the street.
How many people put down a deposit and think, I'll have the money when it's time to have the truck delivered?
Yeah, what if you have to prove you can pay for it?
Right.
Because it's, you know, it seemed like it'd be a hassle. Anyway, 200,000 times $100 is $2 gazillion.
Mm-hmm.
So thank goodness Elon Musk got the money. In case you missed it, there's video all over the internet, which will live forever, of the shatterproof truck windows being shattered by a guy with a steel ball who whipped it at the window. And Elon Musk laughing and going, we'll take care of it in post. next, you got some pork product on your mind this morning? Well, it's morning, it's breakfast. Who wouldn't? The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service announced that more than 500,000 pounds of pork are being recalled because they were not inspected. Maywood, Illinois-based Morris Meat Packing is recalling approximately 515,000 pounds of various raw pork products because they were produced without the benefit of federal inspection and outside inspection hours. I don't know how that happens. Seems like there'd be a routine.
Yeah.
Have pork, inspect pork, sell pork.
Seems pretty simple.
So you may get more on Orion in that later in the day. Next, Michael Bloomberg's in. Thank goodness. This brings, if you're a Democrat and you have not announced your run for president, I wouldn't wait much longer. I'd get in. Michael Bloomberg officially declared he's entering the 2020 race. Yesterday, the former New York City mayor, three-term mayor, is entering. That's not good news for the other candidates because he's got more money. He's running for president, he says, to defeat Donald Trump and rebuild America. He's 77 years old. He looks good for a guy of 77.
Yeah.
Forbes estimates his personal wealth at, anyone? Anyone? That's right, $50 billion.
Wow.
That'll give him the resources to overcome any disadvantage he might suffer from missing the first five debates and his rival's month-long head start on the campaign trail. We can also check with Pat Brady on this later in the week and Eric Edelstein as well, by phone at least, because we're not doing a show with him. Are they on Wednesday? Are they coming in Wednesday? No, they're not on this week.
I think so.
But anyway, asking them if you can get into all the primaries this late in the game. I don't believe you can. Anyway, Bloomberg is in, and he's not tall, but he's super rich, and he spent $30-35 million yesterday on early TV ads. $35 million, if you have $50 billion, is like the change in your car when you go through a toll and you think you need to pop some in there because you never got the iPass.
If you have $50 billion, how much does $50 billion make in a year?
Well, if you put it like in a 1% passbook savings account at the bank, not that much. But, you know, $50 billion you invest and your money has sex and makes more money while you're sleeping. And finally this, the popular Allstate CTA train will roll again through Chicago starting on the green and orange lines on November 29th. That would be this Friday, right? Yeah, it's this Friday.
Yes. Yep.
Riders can see the six-car train decorated with holiday scenes and tens of thousands of lights. Santa Claus and a reindeer ride along in the open-air flat car. Train will run on different lines around the L system through December 23rd. And that's your Top 6 at 6.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
A lot of people stop me and they go, Steve, and I say, what? They say, what else is coming up on the show today? Well, let me tell you, Dr. Kevin Most coming up. Every year at this time, Dr. Most ruins Thanksgiving for the rest of us by telling us how much calories are
don't
in Thanksgiving
overeat.
Food.
Don't eat that.
Don't overeat. Yeah, so Dr. Most standing by to ruin Thanksgiving coming up here in a little bit. Dan Hampton on the pathetic display by the Bears. Hey, wait, they won. Let's try to be positive.
They did, yeah.
Blackhawks tickets before 8 o'clock this morning. Blackhawks had a difficult shootout loss. Very weird. There was a weird moment. I got to admit, as big a hockey fan as I am, I did not know this.
Okay.
But the brand new goalie,
Robin Leonard,
who's done a fantastic job, hates the shootout.
Yeah. His career save percentage is just over 50%.
That's not good.
No.
That's not good. He hates the shootout so much that it kind of stresses out about it. Yeah. So when the overtime elapses and the shootout comes up, right about then, you heard Eddie Olczyk talking about it. And who's Eddie's partner?
That would be Pat Foley, maybe?
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Pat Foley.
Pat and Eddie talking about it. I think Pat probably brought it up and said he hates the shootout. And then he proceeded to lose the shootout.
Yeah, two shots, five hole.
Both. Yeah, it was bizarre. Because he's done a phenomenal job this
year. 40 saves in the game.
So the question came up, if you hate the shootout and it's in your head, why wouldn't you go bullpen on it and bring in the other goalie?
Yeah. It's not as easy to warm up a goalie as it is a pitcher. There's no bullpen.
But if there's a guy... No, I get it. But if there's a guy who...
Oh, I get it. I get what you're saying.
Who is... You know, it's in his head that he's not going to do well.
Yeah. And you could tell body language after the first one.
Yeah, it wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Breakfast with a Blackhawk later on the show. Who's going to be on today, Super Joe? Who do we have for Breakfast with a Blackhawk? Is it a mystery?
It is a mystery guest.
Okay.
Ooh.
Huh.
When do you think that mystery will be cleared up?
Hopefully sooner rather than later.
Dean Richards after 8 as well. We got some Thanksgiving parade stuff coming up after 9, including the great Miguel Cervantes. Hamilton, from Hamilton. He'll join us to talk about that. And Chris Sullivan from This Is Us. You know who Chris Sullivan is?
From This Is Us.
Yeah, but do you watch This Is Us?
I do not.
I do. Toby. Which one is he?
Toby. Oh, I love Toby.
Toby's going to be on the show this morning because he's the other grand marshal for the parade.
Yeah, there's problems coming up for Toby.
Yes, with the marriage.
Mm-hmm. He's losing too much weight.
And she's not happy about it.
Nope.
So it's that couples thing where one person gets in shape and the other doesn't, and the person that doesn't is jealous?
Well, it's just tearing them apart because of the time spent apart. And
she's taking care of a baby all day.
Well, she supported him. I don't watch the show. Has she supported him in his attempt to get healthy?
She has, but she's also threatened by the fact that he's getting so slim and she's
extremely overweight.
Yes. Well, then that would be the jealousy thing.
So there's
So,
and her feeling insecure is now leading him to reach out to his CrossFit
coach.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a little predictable?
We think. We're guessing, though.
Yeah. Isn't that a little predictable?
It was a group text.
Oh, boy. And Hochberg's on later with his annual holiday home financing wishes. What? This is our last week on At This Hour. No, that's not true. This is our last week starting the show at this hour. Next week, this time, we'll be on at 5 a.m. And by this time, I'll already be bitter. All right, 6:40, and the Steve Cochran Show continues now with our annual feature, Dr. Kevin Most Ruins Thanksgiving. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're all right. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Where will you be this week for Thanksgiving?
I will actually be here. We kind of do a couple special activities here with the medical staff, delivering some meals to individuals, and then Wednesday and Thursday, and then I'll cook for a good portion of the family. So
you do that every year, don't you?
I do. Yep.
Do you cook for yourself?
No. The oven gets turned on about twice a year.
Do you do a test run on the oven to make sure it still works?
No, I probably should. That's a good idea.
Yeah. And what's your specialty for Thanksgiving? And don't say green bean casserole.
No, I do the turkey and I do the stuffing, and then everyone else brings everything else.
Well, it's a pretty big deal. You know, I don't know if you know this, the turkey is kind of the center of the whole deal.
Yeah, but it's so easy. You just put it in a bag and you put it in the oven.
In your special turkey bag?
Yes. I do. I brine it, though. So I put some effort into it. Sure. Yeah.
And how many people will be attending this soiree?
You know, only 11 this year, so way down.
Yeah, we got 11 or 12. What happened last year? Didn't go well, so some people bailed on you?
Yeah, I don't know. Now, all of a sudden, Brother Kurt decided he and his family are going to have it at their house, and then Brother David is going to go up to Milwaukee. So it's Sister Denise and Brother Brad and Mom and the kids. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good. Yeah. You know, you and I don't live that far apart. If there's trouble, you can feel free to come over. I'll throw you a drumstick.
Well, if Maureen could throw two turkeys in the oven, that might be a great backup.
I'll be picking up the turkey around 2:30, 2:45. Because, you know, I always like to plan ahead.
Yes.
All right, so we'll come back and we'll talk about Thanksgiving. But this is an opportunity for me because, I mean, I'll talk to you this week off the air, but on the air. I just want to once again tell you that I'm very thankful for your friendship, but also thankful for all you do for people on this show. And I want to say that before we come back and I mock you for ruining Thanksgiving because I mean it. And the incredible work you do for Northwestern, you never take credit for it. And for Mary and Joy, not just as your friend, I know how hard you work and I know the great stuff you do. And I just wanted to tell you it's appreciated. And there's many more people thankful than have actually told you and should tell you. So thank you, Kevin Most.
Well, I appreciate that. So it's a lot of fun working with you guys. I enjoy every week just trying to think of topics that we could have fun with and yet do some education. So I get as much benefit out of it as you guys do. So thanks.
Najee, Andy, I've told you this before. Dr. Sanjay Gupta on CNN, wonderful communicator of medicine. He could learn from Dr. Most. Dr. Most takes complex medical issues, most of them mine, and he explains them to the audience in a way that's completely understandable.
I agree with you.
So let's bring out Dr. Gupta right now. Morning lesson. We'll come back with Dr. Kevin Most to ruin Thanksgiving. Stand by for that. Back to Dr. Kevin Most now from your friends at Northwestern Medicine, and let's talk about that Thanksgiving dinner. Doc, I think what you're here to tell us is it's healthy and have all you want. No, not so much?
Not so much.
All right, 48 million turkeys. There are 46 million turkeys. We want to get the number right because turkeys are running for the border right now in disguises. Will be purchased and consumed. And on this Thanksgiving, you can have anything you want in moderation.
That is probably the biggest message right there. You know, we all know that plate size is one thing, but really it's more about moderation. It's more about knowing how much you should eat. The amount of calories that can go into this meal is pretty astronomical, especially if you think about people that go back for seconds for some of their quote-unquote favorite portions. So we really only need about 2,500 calories in a day for the average man and about 1,800 to 2,000 for the average female to maintain our weight and to keep our body weight the same place that it should be. And we go well over that with this meal alone on that day.
So what if we were to treat it as sort of a tasting menu where, you know, you have a little something of everything, but you don't have a lot of that and a lot of this?
100% agree with that. You know, if you do just go by the tasting, in other words, don't offend your aunt who brings, you know, XYZ thing. Don't offend your mom who brings something, you know. Make sure you taste everything because there's wonderful taste. I mean, the meal is a phenomenal meal. But if you take and choose the right things in the right amounts, you're not going to end up feeling guilty the next day. You're not going to go, gosh, why do I weigh 3 pounds more than I did when I weighed in yesterday? You know, so, and it's going to be much healthier for your heart as well as the rest of your body.
All right, so let's talk specifics. How many calories will we consume?
Well, it depends. So if you're a young buck kid who goes back for seconds, you know, you're going to be approaching probably close to 6,000, maybe even a little bit over 6,000. So you're talking three times the number of calories that the average person would need in a day.
So we should probably run a triathlon Wednesday leading up to that on Thursday.
Well, correct. And you have to remember, that's just the one meal. Now, a lot of people will say, well, I only had one meal that day, but you probably had breakfast, you probably had snacks, and then you had the meal itself. So, it's a lot of calories to burn off, that's for sure.
All right. So, G, jump in here. You have concerns about Thanksgiving? Doc can make them worse.
Well, I'm wondering if Doc is watching everyone while at his dinner. If he's
mean
counting
like,
calories.
Oh, I thought you meant like Santa. He knows when you've been stuffing.
In a way, he is. I mean, do you put a Fitbit on everybody and then just sort of keep track of what's happening?
I don't, G. You know what? I just want to inform people. I'm not going to be, you know, the policeman at the buffet line there. I just want to make sure everybody just has a good understanding of what is in there and what's healthy for them and how they can actually even prepare it probably a little bit healthier. Not that I'm a cook. Like Steve said, I turn my oven on twice a year. But there's a lot of things that we look at that we know that are bad for us. You know, the amount of butter that can be in this meal alone is enough to really clog your heart. So it's one that you probably should at least think about how you prepare. And then again, how you eat in moderation if you're the receiver instead of the preparer.
But can one meal do that much damage, really? Just one meal? One overindulgent meal?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people think. You know, it's like, really? So what? Let me do it one, you know, one time a year. And I say, go ahead with the dessert. You know, that's probably the one thing you should indulge in. The bad thing we find out is that people have a tendency to fill their plate. So although people probably say this is just one meal, I would bet if you tracked and trend, they do that more often. So it's an opportunity to at least eat the meal, but keep your calories down for a day.
And Andy, I don't know if you know this, but turkey is a gateway food.
Yeah, exactly.
Because once you have turkey, you get to the gravy, you get to the stuffing, and it all leads to the triple chocolate dessert of some kind.
That's so good.
Well, you know, turkey's great. Great source of protein. If people would just take the skin off the turkey, you decrease the amount of fat and calories dramatically. So eat that turkey breast. And I know everyone wants the crispy, you know, the skin, but that's loaded with fat and that loaded with calories. So eat the turkey itself and you'll be fine.
Then it's so dry. You got to put all the gravy on there. Oh.
We actually found a place that would just do 21 pounds of turkey skin.
Yeah.
All right, Andy, what's your question?
Well, I'm going to go off the plate here because I know a lot of people are going to be traveling, including myself. And I'm just curious, you know, I've had some issues with sinus stuff, and flying is always one of those things that I worry about with that. Is there anything you can suggest to those of us that are afflicted with that are flying this holiday season, anything to do to prevent the dreaded ear popping?
Yeah, Andy, you know, you're absolutely right. Air is so dry right now, and then you're changing in the pressures. That coupled with how many upper respiratory infections are going on right now. Take a good antihistamine before, as long as you know, if it's a long flight and you can doze a little bit, or if your antihistamines don't bother you, they will help you at least dry out your sinuses and help the ears pop and crack a little bit and make it less painful. Little kids, that's especially an important one for them. And then really be careful on the planes. You know, this is a time of the year where we say get your flu shot early because everybody's traveling. Airports are as filthy as daycare centers. So kind of have some hand gel as well to keep you healthy for the days after you fly. But a good antihistamine should help with your flight. If you use Flonase for your allergies, it's not a bad idea to use the Flonase now, even though you say, well, I don't have allergies right now, but it will also help with your air flight.
You like earplanes? Those plugs you put in your ear that kind of open up your ear canal and keep it open?
Yeah, you know, that helps open the external, the outside of the ear canal. Where we have our problem is really on the internal ear canal, where the ear connects with the back of the throat. That's why you kind of blow your nose to pop those, because the pressure then will equalize from the outside of the ear to the inside. The ear plugs, all that really does is keep the pressure the same as it is on the inside. So they work in some ways. I'd say that the better thing that they work is probably more noise canceling, because the amount of noise that we get on airplanes is not healthy for us either.
All right, so let's go through the calorie count here before we run out of time. Pigs in a blanket, 70 calories each for those little bad boys, so I'm not going to have any.
No, yeah, but I mean, it's easy to pop two of those, right? And all of a sudden you're at 150 calories. Yeah. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Spinach dip. Sorry, Popeye. No spinach dip for me. That's 115 calories for just two tablespoons. Now, here's where I'm going to run into trouble. Meatballs.
Mm. Yeah.
Meatballs, 90 calories each, and I assume these are the small ones.
These are the ones smaller than a golf ball. Yep.
Oh, that ain't right.
Yep.
Stuffed mushrooms? Who needs it? No stuffed mushrooms for me. So right now, I'm only...
love the stuffed mushrooms.
Well, that's the problem for you then, isn't it?
Itchy, and the stuffed mushrooms, if people prepare them right, they often prepare them with butter, and they often will cook the parts that they put in the middle of it with butter, and if they redid how they put the stuffing inside, those calories would drop dramatically.
Vegetables, this is why I don't eat vegetables. Vegetables can kill you. if you have a lot of dip, that's really the problem, but you're not going to eat them raw. So I'm just warning you, vegetables, the dip will get you. On to the main course. Turkey, 8-ounce slice of turkey is 440 calories.
Now, that assumes that you're going to have some of the skin on it. So, again, take off that skin and the number of calories will drop dramatically.
Stuffing, a cup of stuffing, 400 calories.
Yeah, and it's not so much that. There's a lot of fat in there and a lot of sodium. So use low-sodium kitchen broth or chicken broth when you do that. And then also try to keep the butter out of the stuffing, and you'll make it a whole bunch healthier.
Stuffing's my favorite.
Cranberry sauce. Cranberries. Half cup, 200 calories for cranberry sauce.
Yeah, so that's a good and bad. You know, high in vitamin C, high in vitamin B. A lot of calories, but high in vitamins, and then also is a good anti-cancer food. So it's one that I say it's okay to eat that one this year.
Sweet potatoes and marshmallows and brown sugar. 610 calories.
Mm. Yeah. Now, if you just ate the sweet potatoes alone, very high in vitamin A, very high in vitamin C, great fiber. But we decide we're going to put marshmallows and brown sugar on it, and the calories just skyrocket.
Oh, the marshmallows kill it, I think.
Yep, you're right.
Nasty.
You're right, Mayor.
Yeah. And Doc says, enjoy dessert, so don't think about these numbers. Pumpkin pie, 300 calories a slice. Pecan, 500 calories. Apple pie, 425. Throw another 150 on for the ice cream scoop. And you didn't even throw the chocolate in here, whereas I like to call it the Cochrane section.
No, you know, so it is. It's more about proportions. You know, if you eat proportions right and you understand as you're preparing whatever you're going to bring to the meal, you know, we didn't even talk about the green bean casserole that everybody likes that puts the cream mushroom soup in there, very high in sodium, very high in fat. But you can still prepare the meal properly. It can be somewhat healthy and still very enjoyable.
Doc, good luck with yours. Happy Thanksgiving, buddy, and thanks for once again ruining it.
You got it. Always nice to do this annually.
He's the best. Slice of pumpkin pie, 300 calories. You see the dude yesterday at the Bears game that brought an entire pumpkin pie to the game?
With whipped cream.
Yeah, with whipped cream.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Dan Hampton coming up on those Bears right now. Well, what can you say publicly about the Bears that you haven't already said behind their backs? Or behind their backs that you already haven't said publicly? You know, yeah, they won. They won. It was the Giants, and nothing's fixed. The Hall of Famer Dan Hampton joins us now. It is must-listen radio whenever Hamp and OB and sometimes Kaz and Little Carmen, too, are on the radio. Good morning, Hamp.
Hey, good morning.
Oh, by the way, Hamp, we're sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Now to you.
Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah, just like you were alluding to, much like Thanksgiving, a lot of foul play last yesterday. So
somebody needs their drumsticks snapped. All right, so what are we supposed to take out of that? What are we supposed to feel? I feel like Nathan Lane from Birdcage. Of course, I'm disappointed. I'm bitter. I don't know what to feel about him.
Well, and again, part of the subplot here is if you think this team is giving you the bare minimum, just wait till next week. Let's see what they can do. This was a Giant team that was averaging, giving up almost 30 points a game. Teams were lighting them up like a house at Christmas, and yet we struggle. We have one touchdown drive, and to Mitchell Trubisky's credit, he looked like a bona fide NFL, starting quarterback. Other than that, there was a lot of errant throws, a lot of really head-scratching offensive plays, and once again, we always talk about, sooner or later, you got to think about what are your, your common denominators of something you can count on, and, the defense, they start collapsing, and again, we give up a 98-yard touchdown drive in the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter against this team that most other teams are salting it away and putting them out of their misery, and yet we're letting them back in the game. So there's a lot to, if you make a checklist of things that, hey, we got to get to this and do this, and we got a long list.
Happy. It was nice to see Khalil Mack disrupt some things, at least at the set up that strip sack with setting up the touchdown. I know it's been kind of a frustrating thing for him, but nice to see him get back on his game.
Well, and he has to. Folks, again, when you're watching high school sports, you go, wow, that kid's really good, and wow. Well, Khalil Mack is by virtue of the contract that he signed, where he's the richest defensive player in the history of the world, we have to expect more. And somehow, some way, he's got to be able to deliver. Yesterday, he had a couple of plays, and yes, that pass rush where he turned the corner and then hit the quarterback as Jones is trying to throw, and he stripped the ball out. We get it at the 3-yard line. Those are the plays that he was given that contract to produce, and not once every 6 weeks, but hopefully, you know, a time or two a game. And I think he knows that. And at some point, the rest of the defensive line has to realize, hey, you know, on occasion they've doubled him. And they've done some different things. And I personally, you know, over the years, I've had to deal with those things. And you find yourself, rather than, you know, thinking, okay, I'm going to put a move on this top, you're starting to think about who's the other guy. You're looking around and you're getting high and, you know, playing higher than you should. And you lose leverage. You lose certain advantages. So, you know, he's got to figure it out. But it wasn't like he never was doubled before he got here or at any time last year. I just wonder why this last month and a half has been so hard for him to kind of come to terms with. But as you said, and he did make a play yesterday that it essentially gave us a chance to win the game. It was, you know, a touchdown that we scored after 4 attempts on the ground, and the quarterback ran it in, and then it was a beautiful Keystone Cop sequence of a extra point, a 2-point attempt that morphed into the longest missed field goal in NFL history.
The Lions are a mess. We'll preview that. The Bears are sad about being booed. Now they're saying they don't care anymore. Hey, get used to it. I have people come in here every morning and boo me, and most of them work here. stand by, Hamp. More coming up in just a second. That's Dan Hampton, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. We continue with the Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton. Before we go any further, let's get some good news in here. Give me a Dan Hampton Thanksgiving football memory, a good football story you tell.
We've all talked a little bit about the 1980 shortest overtime victory in history when Davey Williams returned the ball 108 yards. And we didn't have to go out there and scratch around with the hated Lions any longer. We got to get on the bus and go back and fly to Chicago into a snowstorm. So there was always a silver lining when you had to go over to Thanksgiving Day game, and back then it was Pontiac.
Is there a broken nose somewhere in that story?
I try not to bring that up, but you know. Every morning when I try to get my deviated septum to work again, I think about my dear friend Walter Payton. He was the one that gave it to me.
Well, people need to know the details if they don't know them now. I apologize as your friend for bringing it up, but now you got to tell the story.
Well, and we're going to be on Wednesday at 7:40, and at that time, I'll tell you a little bit about the behind the scenes, but essentially, at the conclusion of that 108-yard return, the team, we were just, you know, over the moon, and we all started running to the end zone to kind of, you know, dogpile Davey, and I was one of the first ones there, and then all of a sudden, it felt like somebody hit me in the face with a baseball bat, and I didn't know what, everybody was, you know, jumping up and down and going crazy, and I got blood spurting out, and finally, we get in the locker room, and I'm asking, what happened? What happened? Nobody would say anything. The next day, when we're watching the film, at the very end of the film, obviously it was the last play of the game, we all, you know, the camera zooms in to the end zone. We're all jumping up and down, and we see number 34 come running up and do his end zone dive where he jumps up, you know, 8 feet in the air, and he lands on the back of my helmet, which flips my helmet up, and the face mask comes up and catches me under the nose and rips my nose, almost like rips it off. And obviously
that's no good.
You know,
that's what friends are for. Listen, if somebody's going to break your nose, might as well be Walter Payton, right? I mean, come on. If it's
yeah,
good. You don't want some special
rookie,
right?
Nobody would know who he was,
right? All right, so Lions and the Bears. We'll preview it in greater detail on Wednesday. But the Lions are awful. The Packers were horrible last night.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the 49ers are a good team, that's two out of the last three games where they looked awful. Oh, you know, it's like rubbing salt in the wound, man. It just reminds me how much of a missed opportunity this season has been, even though there's this much hope that these guys could back into a playoff spot.
Well, you never say never, and you're exactly right. You know, the loss to the Raiders, the loss to the Chargers, all those, they start to come back at night, like, you know, car wreck flashbacks. And you're saying to yourself, you know, if we were just taking care of business when we had the opportunity, the chance, and not wait till the end of the game and let, you know, slip through our fingers, well, that's what, you know, and I heard you talking about Cohen and the rest of these guys complaining about the fans booing because they have been down this road many, many times.
Right.
You know, Cohen hadn't been around here. He doesn't have a whole lot of shelf life. We've seen this. We know the story, and we understand the gravity of dropping a game here and there, and that's what makes this game against the Lions on Thanksgiving not only more important, but almost. And I said this in the post game. I said, you know, the Bears are in the playoffs. Yay! Not really, but we are. It's sudden death. You can't lose. If you went all the way out, you've got a great chance. You never know what's going to happen. But if we lose, it's over. So, yeah, in an abstract way, the playoffs started yesterday, and they continue on Thanksgiving. We'll see what happens.
You know, Hampus, you look at this team right now offensively. The MO lately has been nothing in the first half, and then all of a sudden they come out of the locker room like gangbusters in the second half. I can't put my finger on it. Obviously, I think if they could, they would solve it. But have you seen anything? Have you noticed anything?
Well, it's a combination of two things. Number one, everybody goes in with a game plan. And a lot of times, you know, and you got to just say, Matt Nagy has a certain belief in what he thinks will be successful with his guys in a matchup against the opponent. It's not working. And to his credit, he was able to make adjustments at halftime. We came out and we put together the only touchdown drive of the day. And so, you know, even though as bad as the first half was, and our refusal to do certain things that we know have helped this offense get on track, well, in the second half, we were able to do it. And we went hurry-up offense, and we moved Trubisky out of the pocket. We ran some deeper patterns. Some, you know, this offense is almost embarrassingly bad about not being willing or able to throw the ball down the field. If you go back, that drive was almost like, to hell with it. We're going to do some things that other NFL teams do. Run some deep slants and some crossing back. And guess what? They worked, and we need to continue that. We have to be more aggressive, more assertive. And that's one thing. It's almost like we go into games, you know, all curled up when we don't want to try anything. And then when our back's against the wall and we've got to make a move, sometimes it pays off. We've got to be more aggressive in the initial game plan and then let it ride and see what happens.
I don't want to just pick on Nagy here, but he is the coach. How did we get into the 75-yard extra point yesterday, and isn't that coaching?
Well, and that's part of the problem that, you know, we have kind of, you know, raised week after week after week. This is a team that was poorly prepared. And so many different facets. And we ran 12 guys out on the field, you know, for an extra point. And Bobby Massey was in and out with an injury. Well, those are contingencies that you work out in training camp. If you're doing anything in training camp, or at the very least, preseason. Oh, that's right. We don't do that. We don't have to do that here. But, you know, the screen, Allen Robinson is a darn fine player, and I like him. But you know what? It was you almost have to have a little bit of a comedic sidekick in you where you have to, you know, on one of those pick plays, you've got to act like you're trying to get across the field, not just stand there and then block a guy, because you can't do that. Well, yeah, you have to be taught and schooled and conditioned to do these things. And obviously we weren't. And that's why he was called and flagged for it. And then we had the 12 men on the field, and then the next thing you know, we've got the longest field goal in NFL history that we missed, and it was almost predictable. And if you want to look at that whole sequence on the south end zone, that's almost like the team, the season, a microcosm. Here we are given, possession on the ball at the 3-yard line. It takes four downs to get in because we had a futility. We finally run a quarterback keeper that, you know, I thought our quarterback had a hit pointer. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. I thought, you know, he was going to be struggling. Oh, no, he's not. But that's another story. And then that whole sequence with the two-point attempt and the penalty and then the 12-man, that is exactly what happens when you do not prepare adequately. And as the old sage Mike Ditka used to say, if you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. And it's a good thing. Somehow, some way, we got the Giants' offense stopped there at the end of the fourth quarter. Otherwise, this would have been a humiliating, embarrassing defeat. And that is what makes the fans want to boo.
You know, there's three things that motivate human behavior in show business in particular, and that's what football is, but also in life. And that's the money you make, the want to please the people that employ you because you respect them, or just being a professional. What I don't see, Hamp, with these guys is a need to please the coaches. I mean, you told a million stories about Buddy Ryan and how Buddy Ryan criticized your performance. You would kill yourself to make sure Buddy liked what you were doing the next time. I think that's part and parcel to the problem that's going on here. Is nobody has a healthy fear of Matt Nagy.
And I think that is a large part of what's going on here. And again, it goes back, and I've brought this up a number of times, and I don't mean to be a killjoy. And, you know, last year the BU that he has printed on his play sheet, everybody thought was so novel. And, oh, how cool and how cute, BU. Well, that goes against the team concept. Everybody has to subjugate themselves to the good of the team, and you have to sacrifice. And it's not all about you. It's about not letting your teammates down. And if you're all worried about being you, then you're not worried about being a part of the team. You can't do both. And sooner or later, everybody being encouraged to just worry about themselves, then this is what you have. You've got a team that's not only is underperforming, but they almost have an arrogance where they don't care about the fact that they're underperforming. And that, in the long run, is only going to engender problems, not only within the team, but with the relationship you have with the fans. And we all know that winning is the great deodorant, and it takes away a lot of the negative aspects. But, you know, beating the Giants by, what, 4 or 5 points at home in a game where you essentially were treating like a playoff game, it's not very good. And then for them to whine about, oh, well, we didn't like the boos. If you didn't like the boos, go out there and blow somebody out. That's what the fans pay to see. They want to see great football. We didn't get to see a lot of it yesterday. I think this team needs to kind of have a little bit of a wake-up call and realize, hey, you're not going to be coddled by the fans, even though the coach wants to.
I'll let you go, Ham, but and we'll talk on Wednesday. But I have good friends who have season tickets, and they say if we wanted to pay money to be disappointed, we'd give money to our family when they come over Thursday for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, pay Uncle Fred, who will be in the scotch. Yeah, he'll
right,
disappoint you.
Right. Dan Hampton brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Thank you, Hamp. And we're back with the news in a moment on 720 WGN. Stand by to win the Blackhawks tickets. When I give you the cue to call in and win, and I say something like it's time to call in and win, that'll be win. But I'll tell you what number coming up in a little bit. I have Hawks tickets coming up. Stand by for the Hawks tickets.
I'm standing by.
If you're seventh caller right now, 312-981-7200. Know what I'm saying?
It's good. It's a good number, and hopefully someone deserving will win.
Ryan Noble's coming up, too, from CNN. Now, I didn't want to pre-promote this because I didn't know if it was going to happen. But standing by on the phone right now is the whistleblower.
What? You didn't tell me this?
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to say it because I didn't know if it was true. Let me just go to the whistleblower right now, as a matter of fact. Is this the whistleblower? All right, question for you. Are you in any sort of danger by agreeing to talk to me today? Okay, so I have a code here. One is yes. Two blows is no. Three is maybe or no comment. Mr. Whistleblower, will you ever testify in public? That's a no. That's a no. Are you in this? Are you just out to get Trump? Well, that's a no. Are you surprised at how famous you've become? If you guys have questions for the whistleblower, I'm telling you right now. I mean, you know, I didn't know we could get the whistleblower, let alone be able to pull this off. Whistleblower, if you had the chance, would you like to punch Sean Hannity in the head? Of course, that'd be a yes. That's right. I don't know what you do after this as a career. Have you thought about the Masked Singer? See, I'm good nice. For this guy.
That's very good.
Let me do one for you, Andy.
Well, I got one, yeah.
Go ahead.
Can you kick field goals?
Well, that's a maybe.
Okay, good.
That's
good.
A maybe.
Could use you.
On Thanksgiving, do you enjoy the green bean casserole? That's a no. This is why I like this guy or girl. Notice I was careful there. Gee, any questions for the whistleblower?
Do you have a softer whistle?
Oh, look what happened there. He must like you, G. Or she. All right, whistleblower, I know we're short on time. I just wanted to say thank you for doing this. Thank you for coming on the show.
I want to know how he answers to his wife.
Or she.
You don't know that it's a he. Could be a she.
It could be either one, but still.
Right?
How does he answer?
That is, by the way, the most in-depth interview the whistleblower has given so far.
It's a lot of info.
I'm telling you right now. We're on top of it. Still to come on this program, as I said, Ryan Noble's Dean Richards after 8. I was just minding my own business. I wasn't hurting anybody. I looked up at the Channel 9 monitor that we have here in studio, and Jeff Garlin is dancing with Dean Richards.
Oh,
the whistleblower. David Hochberg will be on later as well, and scheduled to appear, though we got some timing issues, I'm being told, is Toby from This Is Us after 9 o'clock. Toby will be the co-grand marshal along with our friend Miguel Cervantes from Hamilton for the Thanksgiving Day parade coming up later on. All right? Does that cover it? It's pretty good. Andy, when's the next Hawks game?
That would be tomorrow night at the United Center against the Dallas Stars. 7 o'clock puck drop.
We got 1 point on Dallas. We need to get 2 tomorrow night.
Yeah, it would be nice.
And get back on a streak here.
Yeah, I mean, they've gotten points, but again, there are possible points that they have left kind of on the ice.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. But just a little different way of saying it.
There's much news this morning to report of a national and global nature. And we'll come back with the winner of the Blackhawk tickets and Ryan Nobles. Hey, Super Jerry, you got a winner for me for the Blackhawks tickets?
I sure do. Jeannie from the North Side won the tickets for tomorrow night's game against the Dallas Stars.
That's a great game to be at, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingAndCooling.com. Ro Khan has more this afternoon. Is Ro on this week? I don't even know what the schedule is. I'm pretty sure I know he still works here, but is Ro on this week?
Yes, he works here.
So there'll be more tickets this afternoon, and we have more tickets to give away at any time, so stand by for that. And tune in every Monday for more chances to win tickets to the Blackhawks games for Four Seasons. People texting in, why was Jeff Garlin on with Dean? Jeff Garlin is promoting his new special on Netflix. By the way, it's very funny. I don't just say that because I like Jeff Garlin. He and I have been friends for a long time. But Jeff Garlin, our man in Chicago, check that out. It's on Netflix right now. Other texters responding to the exclusive whistleblower interview. 630, so Bill and Wendy are gone, but Cochran's still on with bits like this. That's right. You come here for the quality. You stay for the quality. So we hope to talk more with the whistleblower at some point, talk being a loose term. At 7:47, let's stand by for a second while I punch up Ryan Nobles here from CNN. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, Steve, good morning. I didn't realize you knew who the whistleblower was.
Exclusive interview, just seconds ago. So, listen.
I was just going to say. Let me tell you what I'm doing first.
Go ahead.
I'm standing in line right now at my local library to get tickets to for my kids for a special Christmas train. So,
oh, nice.
I had to be here early.
It
opened at 9, and the tickets are gone in minutes. So that's what my wife tasked me with this morning. So if I'm a little quiet, that's why.
Well, good dad, you are, is what I'm saying. I just I'm trying to think if my dad would have done that. My dad didn't even know I was living at the house.
You think my kids will appreciate it? Probably not.
No, because like you, we do everything. But that's okay. That's okay.
The minute you said that you were waiting in line, I thought that you were waiting in line for a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
I haven't done that yet. I have not done that yet.
Well, they're good. Try them when you can. All right. So a number of things going on here this morning, and it's hard to pick the top story, but I'm happy Ruth Bader Ginsburg is out of the hospital. What do we know about her health?
It seems as though it was just a health scare. She had a virus of some kind. It was serious enough where she went to the hospital, and then they ended up transferring her to a different hospital and monitor for about 48 hours. But she was out Sunday morning. They said she's going to be back at the court Monday. Obviously, any health scare for her is a major, major story, and so that's why you saw the attention that it got. But you know, we never know the full story with these health situations, the president included. So I think that you know, she's fine for now, and things are going to continue on. But obviously, it's one of these things that kind of hangs over the election, right? Because these Supreme Court picks are so big, and she's not going to be there forever. And so I think that's probably going in the decision-making process of many people who are deciding who they're going to vote for.
We now know that Mayor Bloomberg, a three-time mayor of New York City, is in. Spent $30-plus million yesterday on TV ads to make sure you knew he was in. In the meantime, will he have access to the primaries? Because a lot of those reporting dates are done.
So, no, he's already said that he's going to skip the first four states. So he's not going to campaign in Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, or South Carolina, and he's just going to go straight to Super Tuesday, which is something you can do when you have billions of dollars to invest in a campaign. You know, a lot of these lower-tier candidates, like the Cory Bookers or Amy Klobuchars of the world, they need to gain the momentum of those early states to have any shot at raising the money necessary to compete in a place like California. Bloomberg's strategy is it's already too late for him to get into the game in those places. It also is a different kind of campaigning that I don't think he's necessarily suited for. You know, in a place like Iowa, New Hampshire, like I spent this weekend in New Hampshire, you've got to do a lot of hand-to-hand combat. You got to talk to rooms of people of only about 120 people and then take a selfie line afterwards. That's not something Michael Bloomberg is suited to do. So that's why he's just going to go straight to California. He's got an event today in Norfolk where he's going to give a speech in Virginia and talk about the military. He's actually going to talk about this controversy with the Navy secretary. But, you know, I don't know, Steve. I'm skeptical about his constituency right now. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know who's pining for Michael Bloomberg to get into the race other than Michael Bloomberg. So I could see this crashing and burning pretty quickly. But, you know, this race is still very unsettled, so you never know.
The famous Rudy Giuliani famously ran for president in 2008 when he was probably as popular as anyone in America post 9/11. He proceeded to blow off, and he had an opportunity to get in, but he proceeded to blow off Iowa and New Hampshire, and he wanted to start in Florida, which was, I think, fourth in line at that point. So I guess he must have blown off South Carolina as well. Anyway, point to the story being his candidacy blew up because of that, because voters wherever go, well, you don't care about Iowa and New Hampshire. How do I know you care about me?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, there's every so often, and there's been some of the candidates that have even complained about it this year, that Iowa and New Hampshire don't deserve to be the first two states, that they don't necessarily represent the country at large. But for some reason, Americans appreciate the effort that Iowa and New Hampshire voters put into this process. You know, having been to both places many, many times, I can tell you that it's the only place in the country where if you show up to a political event, a good portion of the people that are at that political event are not necessarily diehard supporters. They're actually there because they want to learn about these candidates and find out, you know, kind of test their mettle. So even though, I mean, both Iowa and New Hampshire are predominantly white, you know, they don't necessarily represent the diversity of the country on many different levels, but the way they go about this process, Americans seem to appreciate. You know, it's not a guarantee you win Iowa and New Hampshire, you become the nominee, but what they do is kind of cull the field a little bit. They kind of remove the pretenders from the competition, and Americans do appreciate that. And, you know, if you don't want to go through that kind of first vetting process, you're usually penalized for it. You just can't win the nomination by skipping those early states.
So, Ryan, pivoting a little bit here, can you tell us if any fallback is going to happen, fallout, I mean, in terms of the Navy Secretary resigning? What are you hearing from folks?
Well, I mean, what's interesting about it is I don't think we know the full story yet. We don't know exactly, you know, I think the White House gave, I mean, if you take the White House, the version the Navy Secretary gave, the version that the Defense Secretary gave, there's about four different versions of why he was forced to step down. So, I find in the grand scheme of things, is it going to really move the ball very much? I mean, this is another example of how, you know, the way that President Trump runs his administration, you either like it or you don't like it. I could see some Trump supporters liking the fact that they point to this as being an example of draining the swamp, that this is somebody that he was at odds with, so he got rid of. And of course, there's going to be people on the other side of the coin, people that are, established military folks who see this as a Navy secretary that was kind of standing up for the way things are done in the military, and he was expecting something from his commander-in-chief that he didn't get. I mean, it's certainly not a good thing. I think under any other administration, this would be a massive controversy that would probably be the focus of every single news organization for weeks to come. But we live in a different world now, and this I could see this being something that within a couple of days we've already forgotten about.
I don't want to go deep on Giuliani here, but there was a disturbing interview on Fox with Ed Henry, I believe it was yesterday, it might have been Saturday, which included Giuliani, who said the following about Ed Henry. I expect the moment I heard Biden's name, I told my colleagues, they're going to try and kill me. Well, the mafia couldn't kill me, so they can't either. Whether he means it euphemistically or not, I mean, he sounds off the rails. Is there a concern about that?
Well, isn't it the same interview where he also said that he wasn't worried about President Trump throwing him under the bus because he had an insurance policy?
Yes, exactly.
And didn't say what the insurance policy was. I mean, I don't know. Steve, hasn't that been a concern for a long time? I don't think that concern popped up in the last couple of days. I mean, if you listen to the testimony during the impeachment hearing, and just it didn't matter who was testifying, universally there was this kind of red light blaring about the role that Rudy Giuliani has played in all of this. I mean, I don't think we've ever seen, at least in such a public facing, someone that has no official role in an administration playing such an outsized influence in the day-to-day operation. And there's not a serious level of accountability there, I think, on many levels. But this is classic for Donald Trump. I think that's the one thing that is not out of the ordinary. He normally finds someone who can kind of carry out his bidding, who is tangentially connected to him, that does, he's got a lot of independent operators in the Trump orbit. That's who Giuliani is. I have a hard time trying to predict how this whole thing ends, but to your point, it is mysterious, and it's nothing like we've ever seen before.
And one other story to watch today: Devin Nunes outed this weekend as someone who spent $55,000 in taxpayer money to go to Ukraine to work in conjunction, as the story goes, with Giuliani to dig up dirt on the Bidens after he spent last week in the impeachment hearing saying, "It wasn't me, it was them." Remember that Shaggy song, "It Wasn't Me"? Hey, how close are you to the front of the line?
It hasn't even started moving yet. It doesn't open until the top of the hour. So.
Okay, all right.
But I think I'm pretty far back, but I think, there's a lot of people behind me, so I think I should be okay. I should be able to secure these tickets.
Yeah, I don't want to see a story where you had to drop a, "Hey, do you know who I am?" For the kids' tickets. That'd be...
I don't think anybody would care. They're all probably annoyed listening to this conversation. I'm only hearing one end of it, not hearing your beautiful voice.
Well, that's all right. Tell them it was me. Thank you, Ryan.
All right. Have a
happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And
yeah,
you
too. Happy Thanksgiving.
There you go. That's Ryan Noble's in line to get tickets to his kids' deal.
That was pretty cute.
Cool. That's nice. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Jen will be for Steve next.
Wasn't me.
Texter, who appreciated my exclusive interview with the whistleblower, says, "Do you know how much wood a woodchuck could chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?" That's from Margaret in Bridgeport. We're looking for an answer, Margaret. We don't know if that's right. Time now for a man named Dean Richards. Hi, Dean. Come on.
Hey, that's my name.
So I'm out of my own business, not hurting anybody. I look up and I look at a monitor, and there are you and Jeff Garland dancing.
He's a very good dancer.
Mm.
All hands.
I've got to talk to you about your definition of good dancer.
All hands, but a really good dancer.
I texted Garland. I said, I can't unsee that. So, Jeff's in town to promote his special.
Oh, you're welcome, by the way.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, thank you. Jeff's in town to promote his special, right?
The Netflix special. Yeah, Netflix special that he shot at the Park West. And, it's playing on Netflix now, and I haven't seen it yet, but he says it's very good. What were you expecting to say?
It's terrible. Don't watch it.
Yeah. Thanks. I'd rather be eating pudding.
I have seen some of it. I've not seen it all yet because I keep getting interrupted, but I like it. It's very funny.
Good.
We like Jeff.
He's a very good dancer. He's the Fred Astaire of the new millennium.
Hey, guess what I saw this weekend?
Mr. Rogers.
I did.
And?
Loved it. Loved it. One of my favorite movies in a long time.
Mm.
Interesting way the story is told.
Right.
Makes you think about your life, your own life.
How kind you are to others.
Family's life. There's actually a mental exercise in the movie.
The 60-second exercise? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really well done. And as you stated last week, the movie is really more about Matthew Reese's character.
Yeah.
But it's well done, and all the performances are really good.
The Matthew Reese character is a cynical magazine writer who is assigned to go interview Mr. Rogers, and it becomes life-changing for him. The real-life magazine writer, this is all based on a true story, by the way. The real-life magazine writer's name is Tom Junod, and I interviewed him last week also. We played it yesterday on my Sunday radio show, so if you want to check that out, it's up at WGNRadio.com. It's very interesting to actually talk to the real guy whose life was changed by Mr. Rogers.
And there is a woman in the show that plays the wife of Sterling K. Brown on This Is Us in the show, in the movie. Susan Kelechi Watson, is that right?
That's correct.
And she's great. She plays Matthew Reese's wife in the movie.
Chris Cooper plays the estranged father of the magazine writer. He's good in it. Everybody's good. Even that Tom Hanks has got a lot of potential.
I don't see it. I mean, I believe you. I mean, it's your business.
No.
And the other
considering
thing,
I'm mad at him.
I thought that had settled down.
That's only going to be for 10 or 12 years. I don't really hold a grudge.
No. the other thing I saw this weekend, which is worthy of note, was I was really looking forward to Will Ferrell on Saturday Night Live because I love Will Ferrell.
Me too.
It was lame.
It was not good.
It wasn't funny.
No.
I didn't see it.
There's a funny attempt, a good idea in the opening of a star-studded redo of the MSNBC debate last week. And the rest of the show, you know, Dean has ratings. Here's my rating.
It was Harry Styles did it the Saturday before. It was so much better than Will Ferrell. But everyone was looking forward to
They've lost their way again. After two super hot seasons in 16 and 17 and 18. They've lost their way again.
I haven't really seen very many this season. They're not having a good season?
No, it's not good. Mm. Not good.
What's your rating again? What would it be if you really liked it?
Whoa, it's diabolical. It's frightening.
What would it be if you hated it?
Well, I can't do a cricket impression, but it would be crickets.
It would be quiet. Yes. Okay, the sound of quiet.
All right, now, there we go. That's it, if I don't like it at all.
You are a master of impressions.
Yeah, you know that and the Queen.
What if the Queen liked it?
It was quite delightful. Queen's got a lot of problems right now. Andrew, come up here so I can fire you.
Andrew is in trouble.
I love how Prince Andrew, in case you're not paying attention to the story of the Jeffrey Epstein creep, that Prince Andrew is now saying that the picture that he's clearly in may have been photoshopped, and that's not his hand. Other photos have been released this morning which show him in the exact same outfit in different poses all over the place.
Circumstantial evidence, Steve. I don't remember anyone ever getting impeached from the royal family before.
No, I don't know how you get fired from your own family, but he did. He got fired from his family.
Yeah, I've heard that happening in like plenty of families, but never in the royal family.
Well, usually he gets sent away.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. No. Usually they just bury their misfits.
Could you see the meeting, though? How do you know how much of a ride we've been on that you're about to screw up for the rest of us? You're out! You're out!
Send him to the tower.
What is happening with
this
the queen?
Really bad.
The queen is putting her corgi down,
so to speak.
8:13. We'll come back with Dean. Tell us what's actually happening in show business. Play a little Taylor Swift montage as well for me and the other Swifties. Well, it looks like it's time for us to come back on the radio. It's 8:17, and Dean Richards rejoins us live from Channel 9. Oh, withholding comment.
Just worn out from Taylor Swift's big wins last night? Is that why you're out? Out of sorts?
I was so emotional all weekend. Saturday, I'm crying at the Mr. Rogers movie. Last night, I'm crying because Taylor Swift is being honored.
Yeah, she won every category for which she was nominated last night. That's number one.
And they're going to call it the Taylor Swift Music Awards
going forward? They should. They certainly should. She also was honored as Artist of the Decade.
Mm-hmm, clearly.
And then she wins the top prize of the night, Artist of the Year as well. So with her six wins last night, that gives her a total of 29 American Music Awards. Five more than the previous top AMA holder, Michael Jackson. So she is now the biggest winner ever of American Music Awards.
Does anybody else not get her?
Taylor Swift? How dare you?
I'm sorry.
How dare
you? I'm not a
Swiftie,
and my daughter yells at me all the time. I just don't get it.
I actually respect you for coming out and saying that publicly.
Nobody else will. I just don't understand.
Outrageous.
I won't say it out loud.
Great, she's a great songwriter, okay. But her voice is so
sweet. Songs are nice.
Yeah, they're so sweet, and, you know, it's like...
When was the last time you sat down and you Swiftied? When you listened to really what T. Swift is doing.
Now, Mary, is it her songs or her persona that get under your skin?
It's both. I don't really like her music. It's not all that great.
Steve, can I just say three words in comment?
Yes, three words. Go ahead.
I love Carrie Underwood.
Three words and comment all this. Haters gonna hate.
That's exactly right.
Yes, it's true with her. It's either way, one way or the other. I'm gonna get a lot of text now. I'm sorry.
You're gonna be drummed out of broadcasting.
Yeah, we're gonna kick you out of show business based on that.
I appreciate you having an opinion.
Thank you.
It was great for you to share that.
The guy that now owns the rights to her early songs. When he originally said he wasn't going to let her perform her old songs at the American Music Awards, turns out he just wanted to work out a deal with the AMA producers. It was a big cash cow for him doing it. But when he first came out against Taylor Swift, he was getting death threats. So be ready for that, Mary.
Oh, gee.
As a result.
Because you'd have a lot of T-Swift fans.
Don't mess with the Swifties.
Yeah. A lot of Swifties who would come after you with their acne medication.
I guess my daughter's going to kill me first before you guys can get to me.
Now, let's just give a little example here. I
choreographed this performance. You know,
did you really?
Yeah.
It looked a little signature Cochran to me as I watched it. But give a little, just a little mini listen here.
Hate.
She performed that song with Camila Cabello and Halsey, who Mary also hates.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, T-Swift.
The texts are coming in. People are with me.
We're going to identify every performer that we talk about from now on, whether Mary hates them or likes them.
Oh, my gosh. Did you see the steamy with Sean and then,
Mendez?
Mendez and his girlfriend?
Yeah, Camila Cabello.
They were just going to, like,
they're a real
do
couple,
it on the stage. Yeah. I was going, what is going on?
Mary was like, get a room.
Mary
was going, get out of the way, kids. I'm watching this.
Well, I think everybody else was in the audience. They're going, whoa, that was really, I can't
give Mary
say
credit
it.
For watching.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched probably
only
45
the parts you
minutes.
Hated.
When Taylor got her first award, I was like, I'm done.
What?
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah. We do have a lot of people texting in favor of you, but that's because the T-Swifters don't have time to text while they plan your murder.
Yeah. They're busy.
Look at this. I'm a fan of Taylor Swift. Well, I'm sick of her, too. That's what the texters are saying.
She just didn't get it. She wasn't saying she
like one texter said, if she's disappeared 5 minutes ago, I wouldn't even notice. So that's kind of how I am. It's like, whatever.
I think her songs are nice.
They're sweet.
They harm no one.
She is a rock star of the highest order.
She's not a rock star.
Yeah, she is.
No. A rock star?
Mm-hmm. Joan
Jett is a rock star.
I'm going to say this about
Joan Jett. Joan Jett.
That's a random name.
Hang on, let me get my stonewashed jeans on if we're going to talk about Joan Jett.
Come on, Deborah Harry. Joan Jett. People like that.
Oh, my God, Grandma. Stop already.
Give me a guitar and sweet, sweet, sweet.
She's saying she's a pop star, not a rock star.
You are digging a...
I'm trying to help you, Mary.
You are digging a yarn-filled hole with your references here.
She's a pop star. She is.
I'm going to say this seriously about Taylor Swift.
Help me,
she writes her own songs.
We know that,
she performs her own songs.
Yep.
She says it all the time.
Hang on. She is a woman completely in control of her own destiny.
Yep.
And I give her 1,000% credit. She doesn't need anybody to help her.
Damn right, Dean. I'll see you at the meeting. 401 texter. Wow. I don't get Taylor Swift either, just her music. She's very generous and kind, but her music doesn't do it for me.
It's all right.
312, absolutely agree with Mary. Don't get her at all.
Well, this was a good family talk, everybody.
Happy
Is this a preview of the Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Dean must have a poster of her in his room.
That's the one I gave him.
You got to give the woman credit.
I give her credit.
She's been killing it since she was 14 years old.
Just because I give her credit doesn't mean I still have to listen to her music.
And by the way, Ciara, Dean, the host last night, the beautiful Ciara, she gets off stage and goes right up to her children who are there to ask how mommy did. That's not a moment we need. They're cute little kids. You did good, Mommy. Can we go home now?
Mommy, you killed it.
Mommy, you crushed it. Do you get points on the back end of this thing or what?
Well, besides the AMAs that were going on last night here in Chicago at the Field Museum,
yes,
these guys were performing.
Rembrandt?
Yeah. Rembrandt did kind of like an unplugged set. It was a benefit.
Where was this? Field Museum?
At the Field Museum.
Great acoustics there. No echoes.
Steve.
Much like the cast of Friends, the other dinosaurs that were there last night. They were performing for a really good cause. It's an organization that AT&T has started, which is called Believe Chicago. They work with other groups called Guitars Over Guns and True Star Foundation that work with kids on the south and west sides of Chicago. So they raised a whole lot of money, and you know, Friends is celebrating their 25th anniversary. It is so popular right now.
And they really are talking about a reunion, right? I don't understand. I mean, I love Friends. I love Friends. I don't want them to come back. I don't know how you make a show now.
I guess it would be like Will and Grace coming back, right? Or
yeah, but they can't all still live together in the apartment, right?
Well, they had separate apartments.
But
they all kind of went their own way in the last episode. So, you know, how that would be. They haven't said that they're going to do it.
I thought they had agreed.
It's not a done deal yet. But, you know, there's talk about it. So
I also feel like huge, Jennifer Aniston is the version of Justin Timberlake. She's the one that's really broken out and become the really big star.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the other guys might get together, but she won't actually be involved.
She's actually the one that wants to do it.
Oh, really?
It's the boys that...
You know who hates Jennifer Aniston? Sandberg. Well, let's back this up now. People give me a hard time, right? Here's what we've heard since Friday. Bridget Ganner was on the show. Who did she hate Friday? Do you remember she hated somebody? I wouldn't hate him, but she was not a fan.
Oh, it's Mr. Rogers.
That's right.
What? Yes.
That's right. She said Mr. Rogers was creepy.
Boy, she's brave to say that.
Didn't
I would
say
never
hated
go that
him.
Far.
She said, let's be.
No, she said she was creepy, creeped her out. And today, Vandeveld's on here trashing Taylor Swift, and Sandberg hates Jennifer Aniston. Dean, I'm not the problem.
I don't believe you that Sandberg hates Jennifer
I don't know
Aniston.
How you work in that environment. Sorry. I don't know how you work in that environment.
It's amazing we have the numbers we have with all the hate in here.
What he was going to hate.
The Rock and Danny DeVito crashed the wedding.
They, we were all in Mexico last week doing the interviews for their new movie, Jumanji, The Next Level. The guys, The Rock and Danny DeVito, actually were taking a break from doing interviews, and they heard, this was at a really fancy resort, kind of exclusive resort in Cabo San Lucas, and they hear a wedding going on nearby. So The Rock and Danny DeVito sneak into the wedding. They have on their iPhones the Nat King Cole song, Unforgettable, and they serenade the bride and groom with the song Unforgettable. It's the video is all over the web. You can take a look at it. Danny DeVito's hilarious. It's like Jimmy Durante singing. For those of you under 90 years old who don't know who Jimmy Durante was, very, very famous comedian actor.
And somebody said there exists, because I didn't hear this, apparently Howard Stern had this the other day, that Joe Pesci did a song with, who's the guy from Maroon 5?
Adam Levine.
Yeah. Adam Levine and Joe Pesci did an album, or at least a mini, like four-song EP of songs. And Joe Pesci sings. We've got to find that for Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. That sounds fantastic.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Talk to you tomorrow.
That's Dean. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN. Jan DeSalvo is here to do the news for Steve Grzanich, who is off this week. And we'll tell you about the new schedule, which starts next Monday here in a second. Jen, are you a Swiftie like I am?
You're
not as mean as Mary is about that?
I'm not mean. You know, I like the stuff my parents used to listen to, all the classic rock from the late 70s and 80s and all that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you could go to the home where Mary calls bingo and where she's getting a room at the end of this week.
What?
Play her some Joan Jett.
Going to move in with my Aunt Mary. She appreciates me.
So, well, I'm telling you, so do the listeners. 90% of the people texting in say you're right. I know it's Thanksgiving week. There's a lot of weirdness going on in here. I got G over here throwing random animal facts at me because she didn't sleep last night more than like 10 minutes, so she's punchy. You got a random animal fact for the kids listening?
Sure. Did you know that it's true that sea otters hold hands? So just Google it. There's a really adorable picture of sea otters holding hands. And they do that so they don't float away while they're sleeping.
How sound a sleeper are they if they're floating away?
Sometimes they wrap themselves in kelp or seaweed sure that they don't float away.
Hmm. Well, thank you for that fascinating tidbit.
Do you want another one?
Well, that romantic one, I'd hate to blow that up. But yeah, sure. Give me another one.
Do you know that cows have best friends?
Cows have best friends.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, can I just ask you a quick question? How would you know that?
Because I'm online looking at news.
Oh, well, if it's on the internet, it must be true.
It's gotta be true.
The studies.
But how would you? Did they find cow notes to each other?
Well,
dear Elsie.
Well, that one cow is more attracted to another cow.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Therefore, best friends.
Yes, and they get very stressed out if they're separated from their favorite cow.
Well, maybe the first cow owed him money.
No.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Or her, as the case might be.
Mm-hmm.
And then you with the last one, I think you really like.
Rule
one.
Of three.
Okay. Turtles can breathe through their derrieres.
Their butt. Oh, yeah, butt breathers.
Yeah.
I think you know that we learned that in Frozen, too.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I haven't seen Frozen 2 yet.
Well, they got the little flat face with the bad nasal passages. Of course they're breathing out of their butt.
Well, some aquatic turtles.
Who amongst us hasn't butt breathed at one point or another?
Oh. I knew that you would like the last fact.
No, I just knew it's true. It's true. Jen and I were at Frozen together.
Yeah. Gosh. Us and all the girls dressed up as princesses.
Right. Well, me too. And speaking of romance, did you know our man Andy Mazur here is dating a lovely young woman who has agreed to date him, and there's no hostage situation at all?
Yeah, there is no hostage situation.
Did you know this?
You know what?
Oh, it's still going on, huh?
What I appreciate is that I did not know this, and you didn't know it, and he volunteered it. He was talking about his girlfriend.
He won't stop talking about her.
Very proudly. He was talking about how his apartment is now looking more like
a
livable home. It's not a dorm room.
But he's just talking about how great she is.
Yes. Absolutely.
Did you move in together?
No.
Oh.
No.
I thought she was redecorating. But she's
redecorating.
When does that happen? Like, do you...
Hey, listen.
Could you guys throw a little more heat on this?
Let's take each day as it comes here, okay?
Well, he brought it up. Let's see.
No, but I'm telling you, listen.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, as your friend for all these years.
Yep.
She has chosen well as well, because you're a good dude.
Well, thank you.
And you deserve to be happy.
Well, thank you.
Have you met her parents?
Not yet. They live out of town.
That's going to be a big one. Let us know.
Is she coming to your house for Thanksgiving?
Wow, a lot of questions.
Women have
questions.
I did. I'm sorry I brought this up.
That's okay. I'm going one place. She's going another to see her family. I'm going to see my family.
Oh. Yeah. Well, maybe next year.
It's still early, yes. So we've still got time.
Yeah, keeping it fresh.
Too early like for the holidays.
All right. We got to break for the weather here. We'll come back. And Ryan Carpenter will join us for Breakfast with the Blackhawk. The minute I say Ryan Carpenter, yes, you hear the first words he says, be the seventh caller then. And we have another pair of Hawks tickets for
nice.
You. Okay, but not until you hear Ryan Carpenter's voice. And Ryan Carpenter, center for your Chicago Blackhawks, joins us. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on today, Steve.
Appreciate you being on. This is Breakfast with the Blackhawks. How you feeling about this club? You know, you got that hot streak going. I'm as big a hockey nut as there is. And now I see those creeps from Dallas nip you the other night. We get 1 point. We should get two. I'm just waiting for another streak to start, dude.
Yeah, we are too. Sometimes that's how the season goes. Sometimes you get streaky, and then sometimes you find yourself on the losing end of things, and maybe it's just one or two things you feel like you need to clean up in your game or a couple bounces here or there. And so the boys are working hard, and we're excited to get back after Tuesday. It'll be another good game.
You guys have a nice mix of some veterans and some youth, and you get a chance to see that youth pretty much on display on your line a lot of times. And Kirby Dach, what have you seen from him so far?
Yeah, for an 18-year-old kid, he's got a lot of confidence, and I couldn't imagine what it'd be like at that age. I was in juniors playing, but I couldn't imagine what it'd be like playing against men and the best players in the world. And so definitely a lot of confidence, and he's a really good skater, really long, really good reach. And I mean, he's definitely got hands and finish around the net. He creates a lot of little plays. So he's a really good player, and I mean, he's only going to get better and stronger.
Yeah, and the confidence that you speak of, I mean, that just jumps out when you see him, because he seems to be in the right place at the right time. He's not afraid to get in the corner and mix it up. Has he been quiet in the locker room?
Yeah, somewhat, I bet. I mean, as you'd expect, probably most rookies and most 18-year-olds would be. But, no, I mean, he has that knack for kind of going to the net and maybe kind of quiet in the locker room, but he just continues to play his game. He kind of sticks to who he is as a player, and you kind of just see it. He makes little plays out there. He goes to the hard areas, and I mean, some of those goals he's gotten have just been going to the blue paint, and his hands kind of do the rest when he's in tight.
Special teams look way better for our Blackhawks. You agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not on the power play. But on the penalty kill side, that was one thing. I mean, just coming in the summer, and that was kind of the talk in training camp, that one thing we wanted to improve with our team. And so I think we feel confident, and you always want to be better, and you want to be top of the league, top five in the league when it comes to penalty kill percentage. And I think early on in the season, we felt like we were maybe doing the right things, just maybe not getting the bounces. But I think another thing for our PK that gives us confidence is we have two great goalies. So that's a huge part of your penalty kill. They make those big saves. Maybe when you give up chances, you don't want to give up on your penalty kill. They kind of bail you out. And so we saw with Lenny or with Crawford back there, either one of those guys, they feel like we've been making those saves for us. They've been helping our PK as well.
Hey, Ryan, you've been in the Stanley Cup final before with Vegas, and a lot of the guys that are in that dressing room right now have been there as well. How have you kind of gelled with them, and how are you adapting to the system here? I know you learned it a little bit in the summer, but I know it's changed a little bit as well.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of new guys here, a lot of new faces. I think compared to, I don't know how many it was compared to last year, but yeah, it just takes time to learn the system. Even for me, I was used to Vegas for the two seasons I was there, and then some of the systems change a little bit. It just changes the things, but I feel like I'm starting to adapt. And like you said, we have that group of veteran guys that have had success before, whether it's here with the Blackhawks winning cups or winning playoff games, or guy like Ole Mata's won cups in Pittsburgh. So there's guys that have played a lot of games in this league and know what it takes to play that kind of playoff hockey, and know what it takes to even just get there. So it's nice to have that blend, but we also have that youth too on our team, and it's exciting. Those guys seem to have fresh legs and a lot of skill and a lot of talent. So I think we're a well-rounded group.
How's your wife Alexis adjusting to being in Chicago? I hope you guys love the city.
Yeah, we do. We love it here. A lot more traffic, but one, it's closer to home. She's from Ohio, so we get to see her mom a lot. Comes up to help. We have two little boys. We have a 2.5-year-old boy and a 4-month-old. So
the best.
She doesn't get out in the city too much. We're mostly just taking care of them, but there's a lot to do for them. I know there's the children's museum and the zoo, and there's plenty of parks and stuff. It's definitely getting colder now, and we haven't had to deal with the cold weather for a couple of years, but I've lived in the Midwest as well too, so we know it's just part of it.
You know, a lot of organizations take care of their players. I don't know any in professional sports that take care of their players as well as the Blackhawks do, so it's pretty cool to come to a new team with all the adjustments you have to make and know that the team's got your back.
Yeah, they make it as easy as possible from the day we signed, and trying to find housing and any little thing, getting our cars here and or anything that our wives need. They just make sure that those things aren't a distraction for us as best as they can, and they give us the best opportunity to go out there and perform on the ice.
Talking with Ryan Carpenter from your Chicago Blackhawks, Breakfast of the Blackhawk, Andy.
Yeah, Ryan, with Movember around, I noticed a lot of guys are growing the stash. Who's got the best one going right now?
I'd like to think I do, but I don't know.
How would you describe it? Is it sort of a 70s Burt Reynolds, or is it hipper?
It's like a caterpillar on my lip. It's still not that thick. It's kind of creepy.
Uh-huh.
But my wife puts up with it for the month of November, and I think it's just for a good cause. And I think it gives some of the boys in the room a laugh, and I think it's a cool thing that hockey does, raising awareness like that.
Well, you're 28, is that right?
Yeah, 28 years old.
Yeah, I mean, you're a grown man. You ought to be able to grow a mustache, but you still look like you're 15 when it's coming in. That's okay. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's genetics. I can't control that. So you wouldn't think I'm married with two kids, but I don't know. I guess it's a good disguise. It makes me look younger.
So how's a kid from Florida grow up loving hockey and playing hockey?
I get that question a lot. I don't know. The Orlando Solar Bears was a minor league team. They were in the IHL. They would have played like the Chicago Wolves. Would have been a team back then they played. And so it was just something I grew up. I liked playing roller hockey. Okay. I played street hockey, and then I eventually got into ice hockey kind of because of the Solar Bears. I just loved it. My dad probably would have played baseball. He played some baseball growing up and in college, and he probably would have thought that's what I would have picked. But our family was kind of growing, and playing a couple sports was getting too hectic. I had to choose between hockey or baseball, and I ended up choosing hockey. And so that's probably the only sport I really played as I got older, but just loved it. And then when I was like 16 years old, I was a junior in high school. I eventually had to move away from home. I wanted to play in juniors and in college, and eventually pro. And so I knew to get scouted, I needed to kind of get out of the state. And so I ended up playing for a couple AAA clubs in Michigan, and eventually in juniors and then college. But it's pretty rare. There weren't too many kids in my high school growing up that either one played hockey or even really kind of understood it.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's tough to get ice time around here because hockey is just blown up so big. But I think it's probably hard to get ice time in Florida because there's one rink.
Yeah, there's not. There's a few rinks in Central Florida, but you definitely have to drive far. It was always like a 25, 30-minute drive to a hockey rink. And then another thing, too, is playing another team. I know here in Chicago, there's multiple AA and AAA teams. But in Orlando, there's usually just one AA team or one AAA team, and then you'd have to drive a couple hours to play another pretty good team. So it was a lot more traveling, and at a young age, I supported it, but we were on flights sometimes to play teams in Boston or Minnesota or even Toronto, and we had a blast doing it, but it just makes it a little different as a kid from Florida growing up.
I'm trying to remember, didn't the Lightning win the Stanley Cup in like 2004?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I went to the finals game. I got to go.
Yeah, because you would have been 12 or 13. I would have think that was an hour and a half from Orlando or whatever it is. That would have been a big moment to kick your love for hockey into a new gear.
Yeah, I remember me and my dad, we watched game 6, and they were in Philly, and Tampa won, I think. And so then we went online just for the heck of it to check ticket prices. And so me and my dad and my best friend and his dad, he played hockey, we were able to get tickets to that game 7. It would be the Eastern Conference game. Of course, they won at home. Didn't go to a Stanley Cup final game, but definitely was following it and a huge fan of the Lightning growing up.
And we'll let you go, Ryan Carpenter. We appreciate your time. But we will say the main reason you needed to get out of Vegas is because of that wackadoodle band with the space helmets up on the ledge there that plays for the entire game, and the goofy Dark Knight vanquished by the Golden Knight at the beginning. I mean, you got to get out of that. It would have ruined you.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not just part of Vegas, I guess. It's part of the show.
That's exactly
that's
right.
What you get. That's what you get when you go to Vegas, right? So,
hey, we're glad.
Yeah,
you're,
definitely.
We're glad
to be part of this original six and the tradition here in Chicago.
We're glad you're here, man. Thanks for coming on. Hope we do it again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
That's Ryan Carpenter from your Chicago Blackhawks. And again, tickets go to whom, Super Joe? Who won the tickets?
Benjamin from Willow Springs.
Benjamin from Willow Springs gets a pair of tickets for the Stars and the Blackhawks. That's tomorrow night, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. More with Roe later. We'll talk a little bit about this new schedule, which starts a week from today, next hour. CLTV will join us as well. As a matter of fact, they're part of a schedule announcement, too. David Hochberg will be in studio coming up. We got a lot to do on this Steve Cochran Show. You think it's tough to get your family together for Thanksgiving? How'd you like to organize a parade? How about that? Phil Purevich is here. Phil, what's your title specifically?
Executive producer, Chicago Thanksgiving Parade.
That's a lot of work, my friend.
It is. It's a labor of love, though. It's a great, great job. I'm lucky to have it.
Good to see you book Mrs. Claus. That's not easy.
No. She's got a tight schedule. She made a little time for us. She said something about not wanting her husband to be in Chicago by himself. So.
He knows. Yeah, he can get loose. Our friend Miguel Cervantes, Hamilton, and Chris Sullivan from This Is Us, co-grand marshals?
That's correct. This year, as you probably know, is the year of Chicago Theater in Chicago. And, of course, Miguel Cervantes from the Chicago cast of Hamilton is a perfect pick for that. And Chris Sullivan, actor from NBC's This Is Us, cut his teeth in Chicago Theater. So it's a bit of a homecoming for him. So we're really excited to have him as co-grand marshal.
Yeah, I'm sure he's glad to be back. Lauren Jiggett, Sarah Gendra, and Dan Ponce will be there. You know, Ponce is going to start singing in the middle of this. You know that, don't you?
You know, I would like that. As you probably know, he's an incredibly talented singer and artist.
And who's Teddy Turkey?
Teddy Turkey is the mascot, the beloved mascot of the Chicago Thanksgiving Parade. So he'll be there.
Will Teddy survive to see sunset?
Yeah, he's been pardoned. It was he's a presidential pardon turkey.
Good. Well, that's good to know. Now, here's the important thing you need to know. The weather that everybody's trying to scare you about, we're going to miss that, I understand.
We are. It's going to be a fantastic day. It's going to be a bit warmer for a Thanksgiving in Chicago, and it's just going to be slightly overcast, and it's going to be perfect weather to make it out to the parade route.
Yeah, so don't let anybody talk you into the fact that it's going to be cold and miserable and snowy. That's not here.
No, that is not here. That's for December, so we're going to have a great day on Thanksgiving this year.
What's your favorite part of the parade week? I mean, do you get to enjoy it?
I do.
I mean, by the time all the planning is done, is that morning a little lighter for you or not so much?
It is. By parade morning, we have an incredibly dedicated team of staff, key volunteers, some volunteers that have been with us for more than 20 years, and they really manage the event. So I'm there to help them in whatever capacity I can, so I do get to relax and enjoy it a bit, but they really do all the heavy lifting on parade day.
Well, you're good to mention them.
How many floats? How many bands? I mean, how are we talking about?
We'll have about 100 total units in the parade, and of those, 19 are marching bands. We'll have about 14 traditional floats. We'll have about 15 staged performances in the first hour, about 30 cultural performance groups, 9 equestrian units. So we're a very traditional Thanksgiving parade, and you know, it's 3 hours of free family fun, so we hope everybody could come on down.
And airing on what channel?
WGN.
Oh, we're familiar with that.
Chicago's very own. Live broadcast starts at 8 a.m., wraps up at 11. And for those not in the Chicago market, we live stream at WGNTV.com/live.
You know, I did the parade a couple of years.
You did? Were you on the float?
No, I was like the roving reporter in the crowd with for Channel 9.
Oh, fantastic.
There must have been an incident. I don't know. I haven't been invited back.
What did you do?
I don't know. I don't remember. But Paul Conrad and I used to do the fireworks for the 4th of July, the city fireworks, and Thanksgiving Day Parade, and we've both been kicked out. Mm-hmm. Yet we're still employed by the company, so I don't know what happened.
Do you think maybe you got on Santa's naughty list?
Oh,
do you think maybe that's it?
Uh-huh. Or Mrs. Claus could have got where. Yeah. I appreciate you coming over for a quick hit on this, but again, the important things there. The weather is going to be fine.
Yes.
And if you want any and all information on this, where do you go?
ChicagoThanksgivingParade.com. And there is a special seating section, so you can become an individual sponsor and sit in the TV zone. Just look for the VIP experience at that website, ChicagoThanksgivingParade.com.
What a way to be a hero to your kids, huh?
Oh, it's fantastic. We sell out every year. There's 1,800 people in the TV zone.
It's great.
It's a really great experience.
Nice. access to bathrooms?
Absolutely.
That's your major concern.
And we have changing stations, hand wash stations.
Oh, that's great.
ADA accessible, ADA portable washrooms in that area. So we're really very accommodating in that area, and we hope people can take advantage of this opportunity.
Well, to our friends at CLTV and here on the radio, Phil, appreciate it.
All right. Thanks very much.
I got to get a hold of Abigail. I think she saw Frozen 2 this weekend, and see what her review is.
Yeah, I have to see Frozen 1 still.
Yeah.
I think I might be the only person in America.
Are you thinking you can't see Frozen 2 because you get lost if you didn't see Frozen 1?
Too many spoilers, I'm sure.
I think you'd be okay.
Right. I saw the Mr. Rogers movie this weekend. Highly recommended. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Liked it very much. We don't know why, but G didn't sleep last night, so she's been kind of punchy all morning. But off the air, if we had the off-air show going,
ooh,
it'd be a killer.
Punchy.
Yeah. Speaking of G, now, starting next Monday, there is a new schedule here. However, it's 2 weeks from today because you're off next week.
I am.
2 weeks from today, you will begin hosting the noon business lunch.
I will be. Yep.
And that's the Wintrust.
Yes, the Wintrust business lunch. Consider an honor. I'm looking forward to it.
So that'll be a good thing. The 5 o'clock morning bell is now the first hour of the Steve Cochran Show. And we have lots of business in there because I won't be awake.
So you basically are going to let Grzanich ask a lot of questions during the
night? No, I love Steve. I want Steve on the show. But there's lots of reasons to talk business that hour. You have the overnight markets, from around the world. And predictions for the day. We'll have some of the... I mean, point being, if you'll have the opening bell, there'll be plenty of stuff in there to keep you happy. But the Steve Cochran Show moves to 5 to 9. From 9 to noon will be John Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Bill and Wendy are no longer with the station. A lot of people are quite upset about that, but I'll say the same thing I said to you last week. The new people that own this place, Nexstar, spent a lot of money on it, and they can do anything they want. Doesn't mean you're going to agree with it or disagree with it, but that's their prerogative, and the risk that they have is that you will like the changes, and you'll stick around, and you'll bring friends. I don't see this as a comment on Bill and Wendy at all. They're fabulously talented.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. And I talked to Bill... yesterday, I guess it was again, and Wendy over the weekend as well.
And they've handled themselves with such grace and integrity.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it sucks that they're gone if you love them. And it's just a change. That's all. It's a hard business. And it's a change that Nexstar decided to make. Same thing with some of the music on this show and different things that they've done. You know, it may not be things that that you find comfortable or whatever, but maybe you'll like them down the road. I don't know. I'm just here to tell you it's not my call. It's their call. So I hope you'll continue to give it a chance. The ratings are good, and we think they're going to continue to get better. So we appreciate the support. But we'll miss Bill and Wendy as well, and they'll miss being here. At noon, I said, will be the Wintrust Business Lunch with G. And then from 1 to 3, Anna DeVlantis. Anna finally, and any shock here, Anna finally got totally sick of Roe and said, I've got to get off that show. So Anna has her own show, and she and I have talked, she and I have been friends forever, and she and I have talked about this for a long time. To have an opportunity to have a prominent Chicago female on the air, like you at noon, doing your take on the business thing, and then Anna from 1 to 3, to have her opportunity, it doesn't mean it's going to be, The View. It just means from a female perspective, and a mom, and a working woman, there's some perspective there that a bunch of dopey guys aren't going to have. So I think that's a good thing, and I look forward to hearing Anna as well. And then Rose on 3 to 7, and Justin on at night when there's no hockey or baseball in the spring. Did I miss anything?
Nick DiGilio.
Oh, Nick, the new Nick hours from 11 until 4 in the morning. Because why wouldn't he be on the regular 11 till 4 in the morning shift? But we have tried to get Nick off that overnight show before. He refuses to work during the day.
He's a vampire.
He clearly is. And the weekends, there's some interesting things I'm told coming up on the weekends as well. Many of you text and Facebook somehow seem to think I'm still involved with making decisions around here. I promise you I'm not. I've been invited to those meetings in a long time. So again, it's the greatest station in Chicago because it's the greatest station in Chicago. And there's certainly been times in the past over the last 95 years where you've liked some changes and didn't like others. We hope you'll continue to stick around, and we hope to earn your loyalty and keep it.
Yeah, and it's going to be bittersweet for me. I'll be sad to leave the morning show and
the
team.
Whoa, I didn't know you were leaving.
I'm going to be sad to leave you guys.
Yeah, we're just starting to figure you out.
I know. I mean, because I'm a newcomer here, but I'm excited to flex some different muscles as well.
No, it's great.
Showcase other aspects of my knowledge and personality. And
it's going to be your show, so it's your responsibility. You can no longer just go to management and say, it's not my show, it's Steve's show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so now you've got to make it work.
Well, I also want to make sure that I live up to the standard that's been set for the show and continue the great legacy that Steve Bertrand, who will still be on during that hour doing the news, has set forth.
So that starts again a week from Monday because you have a long planned vacation.
Yes.
Next week.
I will be in Mexico.
Yeah. And again, whatever cartel you're involved in, it's none of our business.
No.
We just hope you'll come back safely.
Safely, yes.
I'm just going to be the third wheel for my girlfriend and her husband.
So, and you know, the thing that I regret as much as anything about you leaving the show is that you were going to bring your mom in to meet me.
Well, I think we should still do that. I mean, don't you think? Don't you think
she's got to come in?
Don't you think for like a second? Can you find time in your show to give us a segment?
I don't know. I'll ask.
And don't say the 5 o'clock hour, Steve.
Well, no, she's a mom. She'll get up.
We can't make it at the 5 o'clock hour.
Your mom is. I mean, if I could tell half the stories you've told me about your mom on the air. She would be the number one star in this place.
I know. I'm not complaining about her because she's, you know, she was a single mom for most of my life, worked three jobs to help, you know, get me piano lessons and put me through college. So I'm forever grateful. And we are best of friends, but she drives me bananas. I can't even describe to you.
She's
regressing. It's like because she didn't get to do all the things she wanted to do as a kid or as a young adult. Now she's basically doing all those things and embarrassing me.
Well, see, but that's part of the entertainment, and that's why I want to meet her.
So I figure by the time she gets 80 years old, she's going to act like an 18-year-old.
So she's like Benjamin Button. She's going in reverse order.
Yeah, especially wanting to be out and festive.
One texter from the 630, it's terrible that Bill and Wendy are gone. Steve, you wouldn't be so flip if you were axed. Just to be clear now, for fact, I've been fired 9 times. I'm fairly familiar with it. I think they should have fired you and kept Bill and Wendy. Okay, another point to make here. You can feel any way you want to feel. I didn't fire them. I love both of them. We're not on at the same time. It's not the same decision. So I understand you may be angry, but please direct your comments to management because, we love Bill and Wendy. And
you've been working with them for a very long time.
Yeah, I've known Bill for 100 years, which is odd because none of us are that old. It is coming up on 9:27. Let's take a break, get to the bottom of the hour news here in a little bit. Live from CLTV and 720 WGN. Thanks for all the texts, and please keep those coming in. 312-981-7200. The Hawks play tomorrow night.
Correct.
And what time will that game be?
That'll be 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop.
So you got your Weidman and your Troy?
You got your Weidman, you got your Murray, you got your Bowden, you got the Blackhawks. It's all good.
By the way, we don't talk about Chris Bowden much. He does a great job.
He is fantastic. He's a pro's pro. One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, too.
Yeah. So, Chris, happy Thanksgiving to you. And happy Thanksgiving to you and you and you and you. And you too, David Hochberg.
Thank you. I feel like I'm in Romper Patrol.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little flashback.
Hold some mirror or something. What was that? Magic mirror?
Yeah, the magic mirror. I always sat there and go, come on, David. David. Say David. Please say David. And then when she didn't, I'd go into like a depression.
Right.
Until she said David 6 weeks later.
It's just part of your childhood.
Maybe that explains a lot of things.
Well, it could. Mr. Hochberg will explain everything he knows about, and that's a long list. David Hochberg's here, and I've made no secret of the fact that David is a friend of mine, and he also frightens me.
Yes.
You're affiliated with Homeside Financial, but Team Hochberg is out there trying to save the world.
Yes, we are. One loan at a time, actually.
All right. And you know Andy Major?
I know Andy. We went to high school together.
We go way back.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't think I ever told you this, Andy. I did a fundraiser a couple of years ago, Northside. And there are a couple of very attractive...
you know the story. This is great.
a couple of very attractive women who came up and said, hi, Steve. And I said, hello, how are you? And they said, we know you're friends with David Hochberg. He was quite a stud in high school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We went to high school with him. And before I could say the next thing, they paused and they went, what do you think happened to him?
How true. All of that. Yeah.
All right. Now, listen, we have
the
some news.
The men's are better nowadays than they were when we were in high school.
I understand. We have some news. You're going to do a longer form version of the David Hochberg Love Talk.
Yes.
In the form of a Saturday morning show.
Yes.
When is that going to be?
I've been doing a show on Chicago radio for 15 years, and we're bringing it over. I'm very honored and happy to announce we're bringing it over to WGN Saturdays from 10 o'clock till noon, right after the Home Smart Show with Lou Manfredini. John Williams is going to be still on Saturdays, so he's still going to be, you know, nothing's happening with John. John's a friend of mine. But we're going to be tucked in behind Lou's show starting January
10
4th.
To noon.
10 till noon.
Okay.
With all the current sponsors that are currently there. And we have new sponsors already signed up.
So everything about your home.
Everything about your home. Bankruptcy, credit. We have realtors on the show here. I'll just...
But also rehab stuff.
Rehab stuff. MegaPros Joe is our in-house GC. PermaSeal, Roy Spencer comes on. Builder Supply Outlet, Tom Janke. All these guys come in the studio, and I'm just kind of like in the band leader. So when somebody calls in with the basement question, I'm not going to be the one that... You know, you got Roy Spencer right there. Ask Roy Spencer. Mm-hmm. Somebody wants to redesign their house. You got MegaPro Joe and Tom Janke.
So you'll take calls?
Well, that's the basis of the show. It's okay. 100% listener participation. And we'll take text messages. And if people want to call in with a question about refinancing or credit, we have a credit enhancement expert every show. We already have a couple of new sponsors. Lindemann and Dykstra Home Services has signed up for the HVAC. House 15 is a company that'll sell your house in under 15
days. It's an impressive lineup.
Yeah, listen, I'm very happy. I'm very proud of the sponsors on the show. Mr. Floor, ComEd, JC Restoration. It goes on and on and on. Robert Andreas, Stephen A. Leahy, Rose Pest Solution, Lindholm Roofing. All of these local companies. Companies that you've heard advertise, the owners or one of their foremen or one of their lead guys or gals are coming in. Here, Rose Pest Solutions, been around for years. Janelle Iacino comes in, and she like turns into a bug on air. Like if somebody calls, I got a stink bug, and she like literally converts herself into a stink bug and starts like going into these little crevices. I mean, it's amazing, and she's fantastic. And the great part about the show that we've developed, and it's not my show, it's our show, is that the listeners that call in get honest answers. And if they don't have, if we can't give them the answers, we'll tell them to go someplace to, you know, to locate it.
Well, it's a nice extension beyond Lou. Lou answers questions about everything, and now you're going to be able to follow that up with broader questions about your home and stuff you need to know about your home.
Right, and Lou's the godfather.
And really, everything related to spending money on your home.
Absolutely, right. And a lot of people have questions, hey, I want to put on a roof, how am I going to afford it? Right, I want to put on that kitchen. How am I going to finance it? Amy Kite is going to be on. Donna Sattler, realtor Jill Van Riet. We have different realtors for different parts of the listening area.
Well, it's going to be good.
I hope. I think.
I hope it's going to be good.
Yeah. Well, thank
Where's
you.
Where's the confidence? I'm not one of the women that don't find you attractive anymore. It's going to be good.
I know that. Well, that's the Highland Park group. If you came into Northbrook, you know they still find me attractive. I can't compete with the Highland Park.
What are you calling this show?
It's Home Sweet Home Chicago. It's the same as it's called now. I want to thank Marv Nyren for allowing us to use the name from across the river there.
And Marv's a nice man.
Marv's a great guy, the best looking man in radio. I mean, he is.
Does that include me?
What's that?
Does that include me?
You are in a different category of good looking. You know, there's good looking Marv and there's good looking me and you, and that's a whole other category.
We're interesting
in the dark, right? In the dark with very dark sunglasses with blackout with blackout.
Okay, easy.
All right, take it easy.
That will be again debuting when
January 4th, 2020. Right here will be in studio.
So they're a month away.
Yeah,
I'm more than a month away.
I'm about 5-6 weeks. Super jacked up.
All right. Well, congratulations.
Thanks,
and good
man.
For us.
Yeah.
You know, we could actually do a little preview of Hochberg's new show coming up right now. If you hurry up and get a text or a call in at 312-981-7200, anything about financing or refinancing your house, then you will you'll be able to get your question out. And I'll try to get as many in here as possible. All right, so there's whispers about another deal with China today.
Sure.
These are just whispers until something happens.
Sure.
Does it affect the markets?
Sure. Every time they announce that something's going to be settled, you know, the markets go up and interest rates get a little worse. So listen, we've been playing this interest rate China yo-yo game since the tariffs were implemented. So until it happens, I'll believe it, right? And so far, it's been kind of like, all right, we've got to distract something from other news that's going on in Washington, so let's throw the China thing out there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So until it's done and you got a signed agreement with the Chinese, forget about it, is my take on it.
Somebody's all right, so what is, but for instance, today, if I came to Team Hochberg today and I said, I want to refi my house, good day to do it?
Yeah, listen, it's a great day to do it. Friday, We had a guy that's been waiting for like 5 years to call us, right? Stuck in 5.5% rate. Finally got a good job. Holmes finally got equity back. His credit's back. And he's been like, I've been waiting for the past 2 years to call you, but I didn't have a full-time job, and I've been working on my credit. Boom. Okay, we got him into the fours. We're paying off a ton of debt. We're saving him like $1,300, $1,400 a month. We're not going to save everybody $1,300, $1,400 a month. But, you know, to some people, I got a guy right now. He filed bankruptcy. His bankruptcy attorney messed up his paperwork. Long story short, he had to buy a house. So he bought a home. He's an 8.75% loan. Okay? 8.75% loan.
A loan shark?
No, that's the best that he could do. He needed to buy a house. So at the time, him and his family, like, what the hell are we going to do? Right? So boom, he gets in at 8.75%.
So it's a knuckles mortgage?
No. I represent this lender, but
so there's
what?
More people out there in that situation than you would guess.
You would fall on yourself, if possible. I would sponsor to see that. But what I'm saying is, you have no idea how many listeners. I'm just having a visual of you falling on yourself.
Yeah,
just
trying to get that out of your head. Yeah.
There are tens of thousands of listeners right now that are listening to this station that have 7% and above and are paralyzed to do anything. I beg them to please give us a call. This guy was at 8.75. We're saving him $600. $600
a
month.
Deal.
And then come June 1st, after the 2-year anniversary of his Chapter 13 discharge, he's going to open up into a Fannie Mae Freddie Mac loan, and we're going to drop him. God willing, rates are still down. If rates are where they're at now, we're going to save another $600, probably close to $1,000.
A listener says, why are closing costs such a big deal, and why does everybody talk about them in their commercials?
Why? I'll tell you why. Because there are scumbags out there that want you to believe that closing costs are no big deal. Here, I'll give you a perfect example. There's a guy right now driving a bus. It's south of Peoria.
Okay.
That went to Rocket Love in London. They charged him, wanted to charge him before he called me, $11,750. They want to send their legal team at me. Bring it, because I've got your loan estimate. I got your loan estimate from one of your crackpot, you know, loan officers sitting in his underpants waiting for the phone to ring in his bedroom. Okay? $11,750. Okay? So they quote him a rate not so much lower than our rate.
Yeah.
We quote him a rate slightly higher. And he's listening right now, driving kids to school. Slightly higher, gave him a full closing cost credit.
So okay. He goes from 11.7 to zip.
Zip!
How are you going to sustain this level of energy?
I'm doing Kegel exercises.
For 2 hours on Saturday.
It's not a level of energy I'm concerned about. It's his blood pressure.
Yes, all because of that
Because he
combined.
Is this passionate about this stuff.
If you haven't noticed, there's a Chicago Fire Department shop right next door. They're on notice. We're going to bring in the paddles and have a stretcher ready to go.
By.
Stand by.
But it annoys you.
In the PPG green room, just ready to go.
Nice plug. The thing that annoys you, though,
it's the misinformation.
It's the misinformation, and when people are scammed.
And people eat the crap suit that they're delivered, and they didn't order crap in their soup. And I'll tell you what, okay? And that's a quote.
Maybe the worst analogy I've ever heard.
You can put that on a bumper sticker, okay?
I'm not going to put a sticker like that on a car.
I would. But I'll do it for you. But, okay, here's another thing. No closing costs,
yes.
Okay? It's biggest scam. So no closing costs. What they don't tell you is they have to put you into a slightly higher interest rate in order to cover the closing costs. We do that all the time.
Okay, so closing costs, so everybody understands. There is an administrative cost
absolutely
to processing the loan.
You have an appraisal, which is about $400.
Right.
You've got people, guys and gals behind the scene doing the underwriting and pushing the paper.
So that's what closing costs is. Closing costs have become such a negative, you should come up with a new term for it.
Happy costs. So here. Tremendously happy costs. Okay, that's my marketing.
All right, I got another question.
Degree in Northern Illinois.
224 bankruptcy 4 years ago. Credit reestablished. Score now 720.
Bring it. Excellent.
Mortgage loan possible?
Yes, absolutely. You can get a here. You can get a loan one day out of a Chapter 13 bankruptcy if you're a veteran with a VA loan. You can get a FHA loan 1 year after one day after a Chapter 13 discharge. Sorry, with a VA loan, 1 year after a Chapter 13 discharge with an FHA loan, and 2 years with a conventional loan after a Chapter 13 discharge.
Okay.
Now, Chapter 7, it's 2 years VA, FHA, and 4 years Fannie Freddie. There are people, that is what this show is going to be about. That's why I come on the radio, to break down these barriers of misinformation. I beg this person to please call me, 855-56-DAVID, because if you're 4 years out and 700 credit scores, it's like having a pimple in high school. And I had a lot of pimple in high schools, and those ladies that you met in Highland Park.
I don't know why I'm going to ask this,
like kids
how
with pimples.
Is this like having overweight. A pimple in high school?
Why? Because it's 4 years ago, right? I mean, you have a pimple, it's big, it's red.
Okay,
it's
can
pussy,
I just suggest a
good.
Different analogy? It's like taking candy from a baby. It's easy for me to do this alone for you because you've done the hard work before you walk in.
I like the pimple because everybody had pimples in high school. Because you have a pimple in high school, 4 years later, you don't have a pimple anymore. It's gone, right? There's no mark.
708.
I had a pimple 2 weeks ago. I stopped eating sugar. It was like I had a third eye coming out of my forehead.
708. Hochberg's a crock pot. I think they mean crack pot.
Well, it depends. please send another text to
Charmaine. You have something you'd like to say about Mr. Hochberg?
Yeah, that's my wife's name and stuff.
It's Dennis. Go ahead.
Anyway, that's right, it's Dennis. Anyway, listen, for the people that are listening, they got to get a clue. They got to listen to what Mr. Hochberg is saying. Everything he says is true. This man helped me. He brought my credit score up from a 430. I got in the mid-60s. He got me into a heart. Listen, the equity in my house is gaining every day.
What's a big deal?
I can't believe how, the principal is falling off daily. It's crazy. You know, he got me such a good rate, I can't even. I have people, Rocket Loving Lending calls me, and they want to try. I said, can you be 3.375? Because that's what Mr. Hochberg gave me. They said, we can't even touch that. So,
well, that's
really,
great, man. That's great. Thank you for that, Dennis, and congratulations on getting your life all in order here. That's a good thing. That's very cool. Let me get Greg in here. Greg's in Buffalo Grove. You have a question, Greg.
Yes, I do. We have my wife lives in a townhouse, and she's had some trouble with the mortgage, and she's tried a couple of refis, and everybody's telling her that the problem they're having once they look into the development is that the development is over rented, not enough owners, and they're pretty much denying her refi based on this rental thing. Okay. Is she being scammed? Is that true?
Well, she's going to the wrong lender, Greg.
Not looking in the right.
You've got to talk to the right people.
To come to you.
Yeah, you got to talk to the right people.
Right. Do you live someplace off? You said your wife lives in a townhouse in Buffalo Grove. Do you live?
We got less than a minute.
Right. So here, if there are things called limited review condo approvals, which we could get. Okay, we have a great condo gal by the name of Karen. I call her the condo queen on our team. Condo queen on our team. That should be on a bumper sticker. So here's what I need you to do, Greg. 855-56-DAVID. Just give me a call. Tell the lady that or guy that answers the phones that you just talked to me. I'll tell you what. Can we put him on hold and we get his
He's
number?
He's on hold right now.
All right. So, Greg, hang on. Hey, Viv or Joe.
Viv, get his number.
I'll call him. There's so much bad information.
All right. So last one. And I mean, give me a quick one on this.
Yes.
I refinanced paying off all credit cards and now have zero credit cards. Is that going to help my credit score?
Absolutely. Don't shut the credit cards down. Keep the credit cards open because if you shut the credit cards down, you lose all the benefits of paying off the credit cards. Absolutely. Your credit card should shoot up within 30 days and continue to get stronger every day after that.
Let me say happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
And congratulations on the show.
Thank you.
Andy, I won't be seeing you before Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming in.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
And but you are going to be here tomorrow. I will not be, but you'll be here tomorrow?
No.
Oh, you're not going to be tomorrow.
No.
Okay. Well, happy Thanksgiving anyway.
Right back at you.
I'm not taking that back. Happy Thanksgiving. And we'll come back and let's see. We're going to get who in here next? That's right. Jane Monzuris is in next on 720 WGN. Off on, tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Back on Wednesday. I'll see you then. News time now. Steve Sandoval.